I had my children on the floor. I was on my favourite blanket that my grandmother gave me on the floor like a cat.
And I realised in that moment the potential of what our bodies can really do as women.
Like, I could feel his head. I could do my own internal, like, yeah, his head, I could feel it.
I was in tears. I was just in tears and overwhelmed with gratitude.
Hi, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast, the podcast that is bringing embodied birth wisdom from women from all over the world sharing their natural birth stories. Don't forget to subscribe and download so that you can always have access to these empowering and positive natural birth stories. Hi, my name is Anna, also known as the Spiritual Midwife, and I am the Natural Birth Podcast host. I'm a midwife and a childbirth educator, and I work with women worldwide, assisting them in having an empowering and natural birth experience and to truly claim their birth as a rite of passage. I offer online one-on-one sessions, packages, and online courses for the conscious mamas who don't want to leave their birth up to chance. If you want to know more about me and what I do in the world, then please visit me at thenaturalbirthcourse.com or connect with me on Instagram as the_spiritual_midwife. Now, if you love this podcast, then please consider taking a moment right now and leave a review. They mean the world to me, and is also your way of helping me reach more women around the world with these natural and empowering birth stories. Together, we are changing the birth narrative, one birth story at a time. Today on the Natural Birth Podcast, we have Fatima. Fatima is a mama of two from New Zealand. She's a lover of pregnancy, birth, and really found her true calling when she became a mama. She experienced a home birth for her first baby and then decided to have a free birth for her second. Fatima's two empowering births led her to become a transformational pregnancy and birth coach and mother blessing facilitator for the women in her community. In this episode, Fatima shares both her birth stories with us and the preparation she did for her free birth, especially the inner work needed. For her second birth, it seemed like the universe aligned, the right people were able to be present, and she spent most of her labor on the land, surrounded by women she deeply trusted and her husband. Curious about Fatima? Find her on Instagram as Birthing Goddess. Did you know that I have lots of free resources for you in the show notes? Pop on over to find what can support you in your preparation for a natural, physiological birth. Hi, Fatima, and welcome to the Natural Birth Podcast. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you so much for having me. Such an honor.
But beautiful to have you. I can't wait to hear about your home birth and your free birth story. And before we record, we just figured out that you're now in New Zealand, you're from New Zealand, but you've also lived in Mexico for the last, how long?
8 months.
All right. Beautiful. Yes. And before that, you were on the Gold Coast, close to where I used to live in Byron, which is not the same, but close, about an hour or two from each other. So yeah, let us know a little bit about, I would love to know what brought you to Mexico with two little children, your family. What did you do in Mexico?
We just wanted a whole different experience. Because of COVID, we were kind of, as you know, not allowed to go anywhere for a while. And we're in this tiny home in Talabudra Valley, which is beautiful. And we decided, you know, we've got two young kids, life is short, they're not in school, so let's travel. And we decided Mexico because it's on the other side of the world and we wanted to give the kids a beautiful cultural experience. And I was so lucky enough, or well, actually my son was lucky enough to learn fluent Spanish over there. He went to a kindy and, yeah, he spoke fluent Spanish by the end. And, oh, it was such a beautiful experience. So definitely I don't regret going there. It was so different to, obviously, the Western world, but really enriching for the kids.
Amazing. I love that. I love cultural exchanges. I love traveling myself. I've always been such a nomadic person. I love visiting new cultures, learning, immersing myself in other countries, cultures, and traditions.
Yeah.
Ah, oh, what a blessing for your little children.
Yes. Well, I'm a mix. Like my culture is Irish, Filipino, and Kiwi. So for me, it's really important to teach them that, you know, they need to be grateful for where they're from, and just to open their eyes to these different cultures and experiences is so important. So, yeah, we're all about that.
I love that. So we're not here, obviously, to talk about your trip to Mexico. We're here to talk about your two birth stories. Would you like to take us back to falling pregnant the first time and deciding on having a home birth? Was that always an obvious choice for you, or how was your journey planning a home birth?
Yes. So we had a kind of conscious conception. So I was on the pill for about more than 10 years because I've been with my husband for about 17 years now. Mm. And yeah, we decided we were ready to have a baby. So I went off the pill. And then for 3 months, I really prepared my body. I went to a naturopath and she put me on all these beautiful, you know, herbal tonics, and I just flushed everything out. And then after 3 months, she was like, "You're ready, you know, you're gonna get pregnant." And basically we got pregnant that first time. It was, yeah, very conscious conception. I remember being like, "I need to put my legs up in the air, you know, how you do so the sperm can come down." And I was just, yeah, so excited. But yeah, it was amazing. And I actually did 2 pregnancy tests and they were negative. So I was like, "Oh, maybe this is not the time." And then my husband, because he had come back from a long trip, he was like, "Oh, have you got your period?" I'm like, "No, I haven't." And he was like, "Just check again." So we did the 3rd pregnancy test and I decided to film this one. I'd never filmed the other ones, and I put the phone up and did not expect positive, and I was just crying, and we were so happy. It was just the best day. And yeah, from then on it was all go. So I had a lot of fear at the start about birth. So my mum had 2 C-sections with my sister and myself. My sister had also 2 emergency C-sections. So, and my auntie had a stillborn, which I only found out later. So in my family, there was a lot of fear, like generations of fear of birth. So even within me, without me even knowing, I had so much fear. And I just wanted to go to the hospital, actually, from the start. I was like, "Okay, I'm going to go to the hospital. This is what my sister did. This is what my mum did." And when I was about 9 weeks, I was really grateful that an acquaintance, we met up for coffee, and I said, "Oh, how was your birth?" And she said, "I actually hired a private midwife." And then in my head, I was like, okay, I've never heard of this, you know, being new to birth and pregnancy. It was all new for me. So she told me about her independent midwife on the Gold Coast and how amazing it was. She actually birthed in hospital. But I like the fact that it was the continuity of care throughout the pregnancy and then postpartum. So I was like, right, 9 weeks, I was on the phone. I was like, "Hey, can I book an appointment to meet you?" Unfortunately, that particular midwife was already fully booked out. Even though I was 9 weeks, she was fully booked out. So I went to her practice where there was 2 other midwives and interviewed both of them, and we found the perfect midwife. So from then on, I was with an independent midwife. And that whole time in my head, I was hospital birth, hospital birth. I started hypnobirthing the course when I was about 30 weeks, and that just really started to turn my head. Like, I just got really excited about pregnancy and birth. And yeah, from then on, I was like, oh, that, you know, like, I love all this. And I started diving deep into all the books. But I was still always hospital from then on. Mm. And then I was about 39 and a half weeks pregnant. And I saw a video, or maybe it was around 39 weeks. And I saw a video on Instagram of a woman who was actually my midwife's client who had just given birth, and it was a home birth. And she just roared her baby out. You've probably seen this video on Instagram because it was one of those ones like a few years ago that just, you know, got blasted. But she roared her baby out. And I was like, whoa, that looks amazing. And then my head started to turn. I was just like, oh, maybe home birth could be a thing. I don't know. And so anyway, it was in that I was already 39 and a half weeks pregnant, and it was my last midwife appointment. And I said to my midwife, because she at the end, she was like, do you have any questions? And I said, oh, what's the difference between home birth and hospital birth? And her eyes just lit up and started sparkling. Like I've never seen such a change in someone's energy. And she just ranted on and on, like just went on and on about home birth, how amazing, like you can just be in the comfort of your own home and have a cup of tea after your birth, you know, like just the way that she explained about home birth. And then my husband was right next to me. He was sitting there in her office and he was like, oh, why don't we do a home birth? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I don't think so. And I was just, they were all like for it. Both of them just got so excited. And she was like, very casually, she said, there's a birth pool at the back of, a new one at the back of my boot. Like, why don't you grab it? And then on the way home, make your mind up if you want a home birth. It's not too late. You know, I was already, you know, basically full term, 40 weeks, basically. And she was like, you know, just grab it. And then on the way home, my husband and I were chatting. He was like, let's just try it. Like, let's go for it. And I'm like, oh, okay, let's do it. So, you know, that car ride home changed everything. Wow. So from then on, it was home birth.
I love yes. that. And I love, you know, because that if you do ask a home birth midwife about home birth, whether or not she also then goes to hospital, birth center, home, there is nothing compared to a home birth. And it is miles away from a hospital birth experience. You can't even compare them. There is magic in home birth that level. You just can't explain it to someone who hasn't experienced it, but it is so beautiful. And I think everyone who's ever attended a home birth will say the same, whether they are the husband, the partner, the birthing woman, yeah. or the midwife, or the doula, or the friend, or the mama, you know, it's it is something so very, very special to birth in your own home. And for me, as you know, someone who are then invited into this very sacred space, and I go into your territory in the hospital, is that thing about you moving into the institution. It is a difference in energy, and you are the queen of your domain. It is hard to bring that sovereignty, even though you can to the best of your ability do that, but you can't fully, not fully as you do it in your own home. That is your domain. It is your queendom, really.
Yes, I agree.
I love that your husband also got so excited.
I know.
That's also something that I experienced, that, you know, when they do understand the statistics that it's, you know, for a low, you know, low risk mama, low risk pregnancy, birthing at home is probably more safe for you than being in the hospital, actually, with all the interventions and procedures routines they have. And when husbands understand that, you know, this protective, well, man comes out going like, well, you know, the home birth sounds good. And, you know, okay. They are the most converted after the births too. They become the best advocates for home birth.
I agree. But what's really interesting was I had placenta previa during my pregnancy. So in my mind, during the pregnancy, because my midwife said it's possible that you might have to have a C-section, because if that, you know, placenta doesn't move, you'll have to have a C-section. So 33 up until 30.
You, yeah, because I want to know, was that a 20-week scan or was that an earlier scan that they said that?
I think it was an early scan, but it hadn't really moved at the 20-week scan. So I had to have another one, wait for that like 32 or 33-week scan. That wasn't up until that point that I knew that I couldn't actually, you know, birth naturally. So it was quite a long wait. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's when my head started to, you know, like really turn, like the wheels started to turn, because I was like, oh, now I can actually, you know, think about birthing naturally and go down that route.
So for anyone listening, who doesn't know what placenta previase, do you want to explain what placenta previase?
It's what I can recall. It's when it's quite low and it's like blocking the point where the baby's meant to be coming through. Yeah,
exactly. So yeah, so there can be different types of placenta previa, which is close to the cervix opening. So when the cervix will open, right, it'll be, you know, opening up to around 10 centimeters. It's not perfectly that, but you know, about that. And if the placenta is sitting very, very low, it can tear off some of that. It can cause bleeding and that can be really detrimental to the baby and you, right? So we wanted to move out of the way enough for that to not happen when you start dilating. And placenta previa can be like fully over. It's very, very rare, super rare.
Yeah.
But it can be fully over the cervix, which is then it's impossible to birth that way, because that would mean death for, you know, your baby, right? Because the placenta would tear apart and bleed out. So, but usually it's just a little bit on the end of it or just next to it, which probably was your case, right? Because then we say, okay, well, you know, we check again to see that it has moved away, which most of the time it does. And that's why I say the early ones, like around the 12-week scan, people who choose to have that, not everyone does, but if you choose to have that, there are more cases of the placenta looking like it's really low. And then everyone's really scared for the whole pregnancy and, you know, worried. And then it has moved away by 20 weeks. Now, a few like you, it takes longer. But again, most of the time it does move away because nature usually will help you birth your baby, right? But then sometimes it doesn't. So it's good to know that there is, you know, there is a risk of that. It's very small still, you know.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the placenta will move clear away from the opening.
Mm. Yes, that's what I found out. Luckily, I was one of those people. Yeah. And also around that time, my midwife also recommended that I kind of not stop doing exercise, but I was a dancer. So I was teaching dance and I was actually competing when I was pregnant too. So, and she said that dancers often have tight pelvic floor muscles. So she really wanted me to just kind of just soften and, yeah, not do, you know, what I was doing, Pilates and dance and gym and, you know, everything to prep yourself physically for, you know, to dance competitively is a lot. So she wanted me to just stop things so I could just soften everything. So I stopped dance, I think, around 29 weeks. So that was quite interesting. I wouldn't take on her advice probably, you know, but, you know, next pregnancy I did things a lot differently, but that's what, yeah, she recommended at the time. So,
yeah. Well, there is wisdom in that because, you know, as my experience as well, being a midwife and seeing, for example, if someone's like a competitive dancer or, rides horses, for example, like a lot, or uses their pelvic floor muscles and are very strong in them. It's good to be strong in them, but it's important to check in for anyone listening now too as well. Like if that's you, or like you doing, I don't know, CrossFit or whatever people do. I'm not a gym person, so I don't know. Kegels, all these things. If you are constantly doing a lot of training, which involves obviously your core and especially your pelvic floor, or maybe you're not that, but you have your whole life been sucking in your tummy and you've been like holding chronic tension in your pelvic floor, which a lot of women have, let's face it, right? Because, you know, the round belly is not considered beautiful in our culture or yeah. in our world. So women have been taught to suck it in and be flat, right? Which is not natural, mm. you know. And so women who hold chronic tension will have, by my experience, hard time to let that body open mm-hmm. and that baby descend, because she might then be so, if you imagine, if your muscles are not used to relaxing there, they just go into hyper, you know, kind of tension, then you might think that you are pushing down, but you're actually holding against. And so there is wisdom in bringing this up to attention. Then you can sit with that information and go like, does that apply to me? You know, you can be a dancer, mm. you can be riding horses, or you can be, you know, super fit. And you also have the ability and the awareness how to actually let go and relax in your pelvic floor. Then that's mm. a difference, right? If you have that body awareness, that you also can relax.
Yes.
So it's a good piece of information.
Yeah. I probably would suggest for any woman out there going to a pelvic floor, you know, physio.
Yeah.
Yeah, and just getting checked, and then they can actually check if you can relax. And I think personally, I'm quite good at that because I do a lot of yoga and stuff. So I'm aware of my body, and I've been having a lot of chiros for quite a few years now. So I'm very in tune. But for someone that's probably not, I would recommend going to someone like that just to check it. And then also after birth as well.
Definitely. Yeah. Let's cheer on the physios who do, or osteos, or whoever also do internal yes. work, right?
Internal for women's work, health. Yeah.
Because this is something that a lot of women don't know exists. And it is such a beautiful thing to do, to connect with your beautiful sacred inner landscape. If yes. you yourself don't have or feel like you don't have full connection there, and knowing if you can relax, because that is so important. Smelling birth.
Yeah, I agree. Yes. But yeah, so going back to the birth story, so my mum, like my family are from New Zealand. At that time I was living in Australia, and we decided obviously at that time to go down the home birth route, and she was meant to come after I birthed. So in my head, I was like, I'm going to birth due date. You know, this was always what I was focused on. And my mum, you know, her flight was coming 5 days after due date. And when it was leading up to that, I was like, why is my baby not here? And I started to get quite annoyed. And I think that was my lesson for that birth, was just to surrender and not trying, you know, all my life of being, you know, more trying to control things and being in my yang. And this was the point in my life that I just needed to let go and surrender and be more in my feminine and tune in to, you know, what the baby wants, not just what I want. Yeah. So that was quite interesting. Yeah.
I love that, because we know, and obviously now you know, like your baby will come anytime they're ready, right? And for first time mom, that's usually like 41 weeks to 42 41. Weeks, sometimes 43 weeks. Like that can also be a normal variation. So at 40 weeks, it's definitely not for everyone. Like, no, you have your baby. No.
Exactly. And so, yeah, she was meant to come 5 days after due date. And so she came, and it was interesting because the day after she came, that's when I started going into labor. But also it was interesting because my midwife came for her another appointment because I went over, and she was in my house, and she said, where's all the equipment? Like, where's, you know, that? Did you get that list I sent you? And I said, what list? You didn't send me a list. And she was like, I sent you the home birth list where there's like so many supplies that you need. And I was like, we've got the pool. And we didn't have anything, no towels, there's no hope, like nothing. And that was already, you know, coming up to a week, 41 weeks at this point. She was like, no, I need to quickly send you the list. So she sent us the list. And then that day we just went to Bunnings to get the hose, went to get some towels, just all the supplies. And that was interesting because then the baby started to, well, I started to go into labor that night. So it was interesting because it was like the baby waited until I was ready, because I wasn't ready. And until I started to surrender to the fact that, okay, this baby is going to come in its own time. So there you had it. So, yeah, so I started to go into labor that night. So that was Thursday night around 10, and I started to feel, you know, contractions. I was able to sleep most of the night, probably like 5 hours or so. And then Friday morning, we went up to Burley Hill for a walk because my friend said walking is great in the early stages of labor. And I remember just stopping and just feeling the contractions. But at this point, I didn't know I was in labor. I never said once, oh, I'm in labor, like ring the midwife. There was no one point that day that I just went with it. Because first time mom, I didn't know what to expect at all. So that was interesting. And then, the whole day I was laboring that Friday. And then Friday night was more active labor, so it got quite intense, and I had my TENS machine that I borrowed from my midwife, and I had all the pain in my back for this labor, which was quite interesting. And I feel like, because this labor was about 43 hours long, and just listening to other people's stories, I now look back and I think I didn't really surrender to the pain. Like as soon as I felt the contractions, which were on my back, I quickly pressed the button. I was just like this, like, you know, kind of tensing because I knew I was, and then it would soften, like stop, and then I would soften, whereas I should have been doing the softening during the contractions. But it was very intense.
Yeah, well, this is really key information, right? Just what we spoke about before, like the pelvic floor, right? That when you do have your contraction, it is really hard, but it is that thing about how can I lean into, how can I surrender to, how can I allow this to come through me and bring my baby down and, you know, and work with the pain. Whereas it is that journey that for a lot of first-time moms, especially, it is that journey of connecting the dots and learning, like, because it is the first time, like you don't know who you're going to be in labor. You don't know. And then it's not just up to you. It's also your baby. How your baby, first of all, is lying in your womb, that affects it. Sounds like with your back pain, maybe it was a posterior baby at the beginning that needed to turn. And then, you know, your body needs to work more to kind of bring that baby into a better alignment. Some babies will be born posterior and it's fine. But, you know, it does look like a lot of times it takes a bit longer. To do that transition. So that's a good piece of information you just gave there.
Yes. And I think for this labor, because it happened a lot during the night, so I was lying down. So that's probably another tip that I would give mums, like just keep walking, even if it's nighttime, just walk, you know, even if it's just in the lounge in your own space. But I was trying to get sleep at the same time. So that was Friday night. So that was quite intense being in the lounge with my husband. So we moved to the lounge just to be on the floor so he could help me. And then Saturday morning, I made a green smoothie. I remember spewing that up just over the balcony because it just everything was coming up at that point. It was great because my husband tried to get me out of my head and we started doing some salsa dancing, which was quite nice. And then I think around this point, my husband, you know, maybe messaged my midwife and said she's like in labor now, and I would have been in active labor at that point. but still not in denial, but I didn't really register, you know, I didn't think, oh, I'm in labor, like. And then during that morning, it got really intense. We moved to our bedroom where I was lying down a lot because it was just in my back, that pain. And I had my TENS. I think I was lying down a lot because I had my TENS machine, and that was I could just be there with the TENS machine and push the button when the contractions came. And that's where I had, I experienced transition. And that was probably the toughest point of the whole experience was a transition. And I remember saying to my husband, I can't do it, like I just can't. And I think that's when the point where you know a woman's in transition, when she says I can't do it. And my midwife wasn't there, my photographer, I don't think we even told her was in labor at that point because we didn't know. So my midwife finally showed up whilst I was when my husband had to go down because we lived in an apartment building at that time and help her with all the supplies. So he went down, my mum was there, but she was quite fearful of birth, so I had her energy coming into the room whilst I was in transition. So that was quite difficult. And yeah, my midwife came in, she checked me, and she was like, you're 10 centimeters already dilated, like, you know, you're good to go. And I was like, what? Like, that was probably the best point of my whole experience, because my husband and I turned to each other. We were like, we pretty much did this ourselves. Like, she only just arrived. And then my waters broke just after that. So obviously once she checked me, like, just broke everything. And that's when I felt like I needed to go to the toilet, which, looking back now, that's when I actually should have given birth, not knowing, you know. But when you need to go to toilets, when you, you know. But my birth photographer wasn't there, videographer, and the second midwife. So I think in my body I was kind of waiting for them and to fill up the pool and, you know, get things sorted, because things weren't organized at that point. Then I waited for them, then I got in the pool, and I was in the pool for about 2.5 hours pushing. And you could see the head, like, they would show me the head, but he wasn't coming out. Like, and I could feel, like, I was just pushing and pushing and surviving off, like, hardly any sleep. I had almost done, you know, 40 hours already by this point of labor, and he wasn't coming. I was like, what else can I do, you know? And my midwife suggested after, she said she'd suggested it throughout the that 2.5 hours, but I can't remember. But she said, let's go move to the bathroom, just walk it out, you know, just walk. And then as soon as I started walking to the bathroom, I could just feel him starting to descend. And as soon as I got over the toilet, like, it was all go from there. And within 30 seconds, he just slid out. Didn't feel anything, just slid out. And I was just like, oh. Like, it was that fetal ejection reflex, just doing, my whole body just doing the work. And I was just like, I should have just been moving that whole time. And I just was in the pool sitting, or, you know, like, I look back and think, oh, all that hard work. And I could have just, he could have just come sooner. But he was quite stubborn, and I knew that he would be a bit stubborn throughout that labor. He's a bit stubborn now. So.
Yeah, the birth really shows you the personality too of the baby that you are birthing, right? And
absolutely.
You know, it is not uncommon for first-time mamas to take a long time. And again, like, it's multi-layered why, right? So multi-layered why. Sometimes it's because you do hold, like, maybe that, you know, when you do get a contraction, you're holding against it unconsciously. It can be that you, again, your baby's position. It can be your position that, you know, you find the most comfortable position and you stay there, but actually you should be moving into the position that feels the most, right? And it is that thing, because you're dealing with fear. Like, it's, especially the first time around, you know, the unknown. And so it's okay. Like, it's not better that it would be shorter. And, like, sometimes it's 4 hours, 5 hours. Like, that's also okay, you know? It's okay. It's okay to have your journey the way that your journey and your baby's journey unfold, and to trust that their journey is also, you know, a part of it, that it's not just up to you.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So finally you had your baby on the toilet. Did you stand up?
Over the toilet. I was standing up. My husband was behind me, so he was holding me, like, upright behind me. And, it was amazing. It was the best feeling, just him coming out, no pain, no tears, nothing when he came out. It was the best time out of the whole, you know, birth. Then we moved into the bedroom, and that's when I did the, he did the, what's it called, the breast crawl. And I breastfed, and we had skin to skin, which was beautiful. And then my midwives, I could see kind of fear in their eyes, or worried, anxious looks, because my placenta wasn't coming out. It wasn't that long after, you know, but it was about 45 minutes, and they started to kind of get worried. And they said, your placenta, and they started pushing. And this was probably the most painful part of the whole process. They were just pushing on my belly, just trying to get this placenta out. And, you know, I've just birthed a baby, and it's like, oh, wow, this is, now I have to birth a placenta, like, what the hell? So anyway, what happened, they ended up giving me Pitocin. After that, then my placenta came out. At that point, like, I didn't you know, I hadn't researched all about all that, so I wasn't too worried at the time. Yeah, so that was the birth, and we had pizza after. We just were at home, and it was a really great time because, my mum was there for 2 weeks, and my husband had a few days. We had two businesses at the time, so super busy. So he had about 5 days off work, but yeah, that postpartum was probably, looking back, like very challenging. I didn't have any support really in Australia because my mum came back to New Zealand, and I really, you know, recommend for women, especially going to their first births, just think about how you're going to set yourself up for success in postpartum. Like birth, like thinking about your ideal birth is awesome, but who's going to take care of you postpartum? Is your husband or partner going to have time off work for how long? So I learned from that experience. I had trouble breastfeeding. He had tongue tie. So that was just excruciating pain every time he would try to feed. About 6 weeks after we got his tongue tie cut, and just not having that village, no one bringing me food, like just people wanting to come see the baby, like even 3 days after I walked to a cafe because a friend wanted to come and meet the baby. And, you know, looking back, I'm like, why did I do all that? Like, it's just so stupid. But I changed it for the second one. Everything was completely different. So yeah.
I learned. This is the thing. Yeah, isn't it? You learn. And
but I was empowered, but I was like on a high for like over a year about that birth because I was like, I had a home birth, like I did it, you know. But looking back, I'm like, oh wow, so interesting how things played out because I wasn't prepared. Didn't prepare myself.
And that's it. And I love that you share this because for a first time, I'm just like you say, and this is my experience too, is that, you know, not everyone will prepare for their birth. The ones who do, like, amazing, right? But even the ones who prepare for their birth, very few really truly prepare for their postpartum. And that is the true life-changing year of your life, years. Mm. But, you know, especially for a few months after. And it's so important. You know, the first 40 days will set you up for the next 40 years, it said, right?
Mm.
How you move through those first weeks with your baby, healing yourself, like on all levels, not just physically, but emotionally, mentally, spiritually, integrating that experience of birth and then like becoming a new mother. All of it is so huge. And we're not talking about it in our culture enough, and it needs to be. So thank you for bringing that to everyone's attention. Such important information.
Absolutely.
Do you want a natural birth, mama? Then the natural birth course might be for you. Do you see birth as a rite of passage and an important and transformational event that you'd like to feel fully empowered in meeting? Are you, like many other women, realizing that it is time to take back your power as a birthing woman in the birth space and birth your baby your way? Would you like to feel calm and confident as you birth your baby with all the tools you need in order to meet the labor sensations naturally and be ready body, mind, and soul? Do you deeply down know that your body was made to birth your baby and that you have all the inherent power and inner wisdom to do so? Are you looking for holistic midwifery wisdom and guidance to assist you and give you all the evidence-based information you need in order to feel fully sovereign in your decision-making around your pregnancy and upcoming birth? Then the Natural Birth Course is for you. Find out more at thenaturalbirthcourse.com. So obviously you did differently for your second. So let's dive on into that. So obviously you had some time to prepare this time. So when did you fall pregnant again with your second? And was that a conscious decision?
I still hadn't got my period back. So I was without a period, and I really wanted a baby girl. I was just like, I'm ready for a baby girl. Like, come on. But I didn't know, because when I was ovulating, because I didn't have my period back. But in a way, it was a conscious conception because we were trying, but I didn't know when. And anyway, she came through because she really wanted to come down. And it was a perfect time because my son was about, I think, 18 months when I found out I was pregnant. And that was a surprise as well, a beautiful surprise. And from that point on, I knew I wanted to do a free birth of this baby. Yes, do things totally differently, because I learned, you know, from experience, do postpartum differently. So for my 12-week, I wanted to go get a scan, but I needed reference from a doctor. So I went to the doctor and I told her about, I was so excited. I was like, I'm going to do a free birth for this one. And I was telling her and she looked at me and she was like, I wouldn't recommend a free birth. I was just like, whoa, like just she shut me down completely. She was like, you know, like I totally understand home birth, but free birth, no. And I walked out of there being like, okay, I'm going to show her. She's going to watch my video, you know. So it was quite interesting because I forgot to say my first birth, I intuitively felt like I needed to get a videographer around 36 weeks because I wanted to showcase in my bones. I felt like this was so important for my next generation, the next generation in my family, to know that birth can be empowering, because I was coming from a lineage of women who were so fearful. And it was intuitive. Like, I was like, I have to get a birth videographer. And I got one, and I, you know, can show my kids that video of my son. And then for this birth, I knew that I wanted a birth videographer, birth photographer, and doula. So, and a free birth. So that's the route that I went down. And funnily enough, I saw an Instagram video of someone that I had met once who had free birthed. This was at the start of 2020 when I saw that video, so a whole year and a half before she was born. And I was like, I'm going to do a free birth for my next birth. Like, it's so amazing that social media, something on social media, can inspire you so much and just change the view of birth. Like, that's why I think it's so important that women share their empowering birth stories, because it can just change someone else's life. Like, you just don't know who's watching. You don't know. Could be quite a few hundred out there that have seen your video or your photos on Instagram and been like, oh, I just want that kind of birth for my first birth or second birth or third birth. And then they go down that route and, you know, like, you don't know who you're inspiring. So it was quite interesting. So for that pregnancy, I still moved my body. I did yoga. I worked out until I was about 7 months. And it was beautiful, like a beautiful pregnancy. I loved being pregnant, like for both pregnancies. I've had two amazing pregnancies. Yeah. And I decided that I would birth in my home. I was living in a tiny home at that point in Talabudra Valley on the Gold Coast. And I had a birthing studio next to it. And this beautiful backyard, which was a creek, and it was about 5 acres of nature and land. And that's where I decided that I would birth my baby. Yeah. And everything came into alignment. You know, coming up to that birth, I found the perfect videographer who was a good friend of mine. And I found a photographer who I had met once, and she was so excited about this birth that I was having. Then I found an amazing doula who was all about free birth. Like, that's her expertise, is free birthing. So I was in good hands. It was the night before I went out with some girlfriends. I was exactly 40 weeks and I wanted to go over for this birth. I was like, I want to go to like at least 41 or 42 because I just love being pregnant and I want to go out. So I went out that night for dinner with a couple of my best friends, and we had a great time. We just went to a vegan restaurant, and I came home probably about 10:30, got about 5 or 6 hours sleep that night, then woke up because every morning I would like listen to birth podcasts, and this one in particular was all about free birthing. So, and I would also wake up sometimes 3 or 4 and do chanting meditation. Because that's a perfect time to do that. And I found during my pregnancy, that's when I would really like I just felt so connected to source. It was amazing. And it was, yeah, beautiful to just really tune in with my baby as well. So I really recommend doing something like that, like a nice practice. Anyway, at 6 a.m., I went for a walk, put on my headphones and just listened to my birth podcast, started walking 2 minutes in. Then I just felt it, felt contraction. And I was like, oh, I was about to go up the hill. And I was like, intuitively, I felt I needed to turn back home. So I got home and I said to my husband, I said, oh, I think I'm in labor. And he said, let's kind of just time it. And it was coming every 4 minutes. It was just like, okay, let's go. So I was just like, okay, we need to get your mum, because his mum was about 15 minutes away, and she was going to, we always planned for her to take my son, my two-year-old, at that time away, so I could, because he's quite active, he's full on, so I didn't want him in the space. And he was basically still baby himself because I was still breastfeeding. I remember giving him his last feed and I was experiencing contractions whilst I was feeding, and I just remember, oh, this is so beautiful, you know, his last feed and I'm in labor. And then she took him, and then we told the birth team that I was in labor, and my husband started just cleaning up. I had a shower, and then I came out, and then all of a sudden I saw him just scoffing down pasta from the night before. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, I'm, you know, getting my carbo load in. Like, I need to prepare for this birth, because the last birth was like 43 hours. So in his mind, it was like, okay, I'm preparing for this big, long birth. So he was scoffing down a big pasta meal at like 7 a.m. And I just, I just got ready and, yeah, I went into my birthing room and had lit my candle. So I had a blessing way, a mother's blessing. I'm actually a mother's blessing facilitator myself, but I had one for myself. And it was so beautiful because where it was about when I was about 35 weeks pregnant was in the space where I actually labored, which was down by the creek. And in that mother's blessing, everyone had a candle, and they took that candle home. And when I was in labor, I was going to message everyone in the group saying, I'm in labor. And it was so beautiful because I messaged everyone and I said, look, I'm lighting my candle. If you can light your one, please, and just say a prayer or just send me love for my birth, that would be amazing. And I just got all these messages straight away, everyone lighting their candle and just saying, oh, good luck, like, this is it, you know. And I just felt so supported, even though they weren't physically there. I had the tribe, like I had my village of, you know, beautiful friends, like supporting me from afar, and that was pretty special. And then, yeah, and then my friend Sarah arrived, who was a videographer for my birth, and I was just walking around, and then I ended up going down by the creek. She followed me just videoing, and then my beautiful friend Sheila came, dropped off a Moses basket because I was meant to meet her at the Eco Village that morning for a mums and bubs group play date. And so she, on the way to the mums and bubs group, she actually came and said, oh, she couldn't believe I was in labor, and we had a nice chat. So I had my two beautiful friends down by the creek. We were just chatting, and it was just so nice. It felt like really tribal in a way, you know. And then probably about half an hour after that, my doula and my photographer, birth photographer, arrived. So that was probably about 9, and it was cool because everyone was a mum and they dropped their kids to school, like they did the school drop off. So this day of this birth was just, everything was in alignment. Everything was in my favor. Everyone dropped their kids at 8:30, came to the birth 9-ish. And then I started to get into active labor, and I said, you know, in my mind, my husband was apparently watering the garden and filling up the birth pool at this point. He was taking his time. Then he came down. That's when I was in active labor at that point. And then I started to go into transition. So everything was actually moving quite fast for this birth, which was beautiful. And I just labored outside. It was just this gorgeous winter's day and the sun was shining. I was on the grass. And then I just felt a change. I said, oh, I need a... In my body, I knew I needed to go into my birthing room or birthing studio. So we made the trek up the hill, a little bit up the hill. And then from then on, it was kind of game on. Like, it started to really ramp up, the contractions. And then I had a banana and my doula was offering me all these beautiful different essential oils, maybe clary sage and all these beautiful, yeah, essential oils. And then I said, oh, I need a poo. And the toilet, because the toilet was on the other side, there was no toilet in that room, so it was on the other side of the section. So I had to walk quite a bit, like, you know, past our little tiny house to the toilet block. Sat down and I was like, oh, this is not a poo. This is not a poo. And I just knew the baby was coming because, you know, I could feel the head. And I quickly went back to the birthing room and quickly jumped in the pool, because at this point I hadn't been in the pool at all. And because I thought I wouldn't need it, you know, because my labor before that was so long. And within 30 seconds, I could just feel the everything rotating, the baby coming. Everything was so intense. And then I just yelled out to my doula, Kate, like, come, like, and she quickly came behind me. The head came out and she just kind of slid out. And luckily she was there to catch the baby. So, yeah, that was just, I couldn't believe it, because it was within 5 hours. And she checked the time and guess what the time was? 11:11 when the baby arrived. I just everything, as I was saying, was in alignment that day. And it was beautiful because after the baby was born, I got to like be in the actual pool with the baby and my husband, to have that beautiful skin to skin, which was so nice. And then about half an hour after, it was getting a bit cold, so we hopped out, and that's when I birthed my placenta. So my doula kind of helped me with that, which was amazing. And I was breastfeeding, birthing my placenta on my side with my husband, like massaging my back, because obviously it's like another birth. And then we did the cord burning ceremony. So for this birth, unlike my other birth, which we cut the cord, my husband and my two-year-old made this beautiful wooden box, and he drew on it. And that was when we burnt the cord over it. It took about half an hour. It took a long time. And then after that, my doula made a beautiful, beautiful placenta smoothie, which was this was my first postpartum meal. It was so delicious. And I just felt like on such a high after drinking it. And yeah, my videographer, she has all she documents each process, which I wanted, like the cord burning ceremony, then the placenta making, because I want people to know this can be beautiful. Like the whole process is just so stunning, you know? And so if you watch the video, you can see the whole process of the birth. And, you know, you never really see women birthing their placenta. That's not really shown really in birth videos, but I wanted that to be shown. I wanted the cord burning and then the placenta smoothie and skin to skin, weighing the baby, like just certain things that I did differently. And then we called my mother-in-law after that, and she came probably around 1:30 with my son, and my son got to meet my baby girl. And then around 2:30, everyone was like, we'll go pick up our kids, like we're going to go home. And it was perfect because everyone got to pick up their kids and drop their kids to school. Everyone was a mom that day. That were, you know, it was so feminine, like the feminine energy. There was so beautiful. Apart from my husband, everyone was female, and it was just the best day of my life. Like, hands down, I would do that again and again and again and again that day, that birth in particular.
I love that. Mm. I wish that every woman would feel that way about their birth. What a blessing that would be. Mm, do you have, is this video up on YouTube for people to watch, or Instagram?
Yes, it is. Yeah, both Instagram and YouTube. And I also donated this video to Hypnobirthing International as well. So if you're a student or, you know, going there, you can watch it too. So
beautiful. Maybe we can have it in the Spiritual Midwife Mentorship Program too. Would you be open to that?
Oh, yeah, I donated it to someone who's doing doula courses. So open to, that's why I got my friend to do it, because I've got the rights to the video. That's something someone needs to think about. If they want to donate a video, you can't, if you hire just a birth photographer or videographer, they'll make you sign, because that's apparently marketing, used as marketing. which I learned from my first birth. And then I took that advice and learned my lesson. So definitely, if you have a friend that's a videographer or, you know, someone that you don't have to sign something, then get that person.
Yes. That's very good information.
Yeah,
I'm sure that there'll be many women listening to this podcast who go like, oh, I'd like to have someone, you know, do a video of my birth experience. And that's really good for them to know. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
What beautiful, beautiful birth stories you shared, and what pearls of wisdom. But I also will ask you, if you had a first-time mama in front of you right now, is about to have her first baby, and she really wants to have a natural and empowering birth experience, what advice and pearls of wisdom would you give to her?
I would say really look into, if you want a midwife, just dive in deep, like, to that midwife, and if that's the right fit. And maybe if you're more into, you know, the natural way, like, look at a holistic midwife, not someone that's really kind of attached to the medical system. Because that was my, I didn't know that for my first birth. And with my midwife, she actually attended 12 births that month of my birth. So I didn't have that beautiful care. Yeah, she would come to my house and she would have migraines. So I was looking after her that first birth. During my postpartum, I was like, do you want chocolate? She was like, do you have chocolate? Because I've just got this migraine. And yeah, I would say someone that works for themselves, not attached to like a business, because I didn't realize there's midwives that are independent and there's midwives that work together, but then they're attached to it's more of a business. So just do your research on that, and then really prepare for your birth. Like, anything you can do, reading books, surrounding yourself with, you know, people that have birth, that have had empowering experiences, and then you can just feel that energy and you just want to surround yourself by those people, because that makes a huge difference. One thing also is to really plan, as we talked about, for postpartum. For my second birth, I made sure that I had friends dropping meals off. They wouldn't come in, but they would just leave them on the doorstep. And honestly, because that's my love language, is acts of service. So receiving meals was just like filling my cup. And because I'm a mum of two now, that was beautiful. I didn't have to cook. I didn't have to do any of that, you know. So just receiving and asking, because I asked, and I wanted a mother's blessing, so I got a mother's blessing. I wanted meals, you know. So you need to ask for what you want, and if you don't know, then do research, like listen to this kind of podcast, you know, these kinds of podcasts, and see where people kind of not went wrong, but like learn from their mistakes, and then, you know, from that you can think, okay, how can I set myself up for success for postpartum? How can I set up myself for success for my birth, for pregnancy? And a lot of women in their pregnancy, they're still working. They're still in the yang. Like, they haven't even thought about their birth. And it's really important that they prepare mentally, spiritually, emotionally, everything for that day, because that will transform you. That will, you know, it's that rite of passage from maiden to mother. So it's so important. It's such an important rite of passage, and you need to honor that rite of passage and really surrender, be in your feminine and, you know, embrace it. And just really, because this is the once in a lifetime opportunity for you to be, you know, pregnant and feeling those amazing feelings and really connecting to your baby. I think it's just magical. So yeah, do your research, set yourself up for success, surround yourself with amazing people that have had empowering birth experiences. I think that's just key. And listen to podcasts, books, everything like this. So very important.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Fatima, for coming on the podcast and sharing your beautiful wisdom. It's been such a pleasure having you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening. If you love this podcast, then please consider sharing it, leave a review, or make a contribution on our Patreon page.
And if you want to connect on social media, then find the podcast on Instagram as The Natural Birth Podcast. Thank you for listening.